Lord God, I pray that my words would be your words this morning, spoken directly into our hearts. I pray that by your activity, Holy Spirit, you will bring conviction and bring transformation to our hearts and to our lives, that we will look like and be your sheep. In your powerful name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, as we're taking a look at a little bit from all three of our scriptures, we're going to have 3 points. Do you hear? Are you listening? Okay, those are two of the points, not just to get you to listen, but do you hear? Are you listening? And will you follow? Through our scriptures this morning, we've heard this term shepherd. Don't see many shepherds around here in these parts. So shepherd, somebody that looks after the sheep, we know that. A person who herds, tends, and guards sheep. A person that feeds, guides, protects, finding and rescuing, but also disciplining sheep. That's a shepherd. And a shepherd is guaranteed to be a colossal failure if the sheep don't know him, won't listen to him, or will not obey him. For a shepherd to be effective, the shepherd must be heard, must be listened to, and must be followed. Now, leading up to the sermon, I was trying to think of an example of a shepherd for all of you that you could all relate to. A voice that you recognize that's trustworthy. Someone leading you away from danger, helping you get to your destination. Someone speaking directions to you. And of course, I knew what that was. It's the GPS. The GPS, the great personal shepherd. Okay, that's not exactly what that stands for, but for today it does. The great personal shepherd, the GPS. It's a voice of guidance, right? A voice that must be listened to and obeyed. A voice that guides you away from or around the danger of traffic and delay. A voice which rescues you when you're lost. A voice which gets you to your destination. The great personal shepherd. Now, they aren't perfect. Have any of you ever had a bad GPS experience? Yeah, a number of you, right? Where the instructions actually caused problems. There was the famous Office episode where Michael Scott, it said turn right, and he turned right and drove into a pond. Well, my wife and my children, when we moved to Jacksonville, we had no idea how to get anywhere, so we bought a GPS and chose a British woman's voice, and they named her Rosie. Rosie got us to where we needed to go. Rosie was our great personal shepherd. Well, in the mountains of North Carolina, Rosie wasn't as helpful. The GPS in that car, Rosie, led my wife and my kids a different way. They were looking to get to some place, and Rosie said, go this way. And they thought, we've never gone that way before. So they did. And as they wound through the woods very slowly and slower, she passed two hikers who gave her a look. She didn't exactly know what that look meant as she went past them very slowly. She continued, and then the asphalt turned into gravel. And then she continued, and the gravel turned into dirt and got very narrow, and she thought, maybe I need to stop. So she turned around, and she again saw the hikers and again got that look. All the while, Rosie's saying, turn, make a U-turn, go back. But she did not, and she realized the look meant confusion and amusement, both at the same time. Where the heck are you going, woman, in this minivan into the woods? The GPS saw a way through, but didn't identify it as a hiking trail. The great personal shepherd gave bad advice. And following those directions would have been dangerous, ultimately, for Kim and the kids. So this example means to highlight the essence of the shepherd, and also the essence of our reading from Deuteronomy, where we read this in verses 1 through 3. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you, a voice, and if he gives bad advice and says, let us go after other gods, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I kind of think, looking at this, why doesn't the Lord just silence the voice? Well, the voice serves a purpose. It's a test. Seeing if you remember the Lord your God and love him with all your heart and with all your soul. This stands to communicate that not all voices giving guidance and direction are trustworthy. I think we are aware of that. Jesus contrasts the guidance of a shepherd with the actions of a thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Not exactly good things. But I have come that they will have life and have it to the fullest, abundantly. A true shepherd, as portrayed in our scriptures readings this morning, is one who has the best interests of his sheep in mind. He cares for them, feeding and watering them, protecting them, guiding them, seeking and finding them when they wander off, calling out so they will hear and follow him. Now, in Scripture, there are many examples of where either God refers to himself as shepherd or where the prophets or God's people refer to him as shepherd. Psalm 23, which we read this morning, is one of the most famous, written by King David, one of the most famous examples of God as shepherd. And we're going to walk through that psalm together. Verse 1, read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Or in the Jewish study Bible, I lack nothing. Our Western ears want to hear, I get everything. And that's not what it says. I lack nothing. I shall not want, I have what I need. If the Lord is your shepherd. Verse 2, he makes me, together, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. How many of you like to be made to do things? Kind of a mantra of little children. You can't make me. Followed by the parent saying, oh, yes, I can. Or something to that effect. That never happens in our house. He makes me. There's an authority there. Remember, he's got a stick. He makes me lie down. You think he probably uses this sometimes? He leads me beside, or he leads me to quiet waters, not turbulent waters, waters that are easy to drink. But that makes me. Verse 3, together. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Jewish Study Bible translates it this, he renews my life. So he makes me lie down where he wants me to rest, where he wants me to be, and he renews my life. This next part is a little troubling, though. He leads me in paths of righteousness so I can get what I want. No, for whose sake? For his name's sake. He leads me along his paths of righteousness for his sake, not mine. Well, I really like this psalm until now. He's making me do things, and this is all about him. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 4, together. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The valley of the shadow of death. I know many of you have been there or are there. The Jewish Study Bible translates that a valley of deepest darkness. Why, Lord, would you lead me there? Why would you permit me to go there? He is with you. His rod and his staff, they hit me over the head, right? Wait, what do you mean they comfort me? This is what you use, Lord, to either make me lie down or to get me out of the bushes or to get me on the right way? How does your discipline provide comfort? Because he is your shepherd. He keeps you from what you think you want at times. Or he's with you when you get what you did not want at all, but he's with you. And his presence brings comfort. His discipline brings comfort. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You provide for and feed me in the midst of my enemies, danger, anxiety. Even there, you feed me, you take care of me. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Even when I'm worried, anxious, fearful, in the presence of my enemies. God, can't you just take them away? He's with you. If the Lord is your shepherd, he's with you. And the final verse 6 together. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This can be misheard easily. You may hear it, but you may not be listening. Surely goodness and mercy. It does not say, surely life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness shall fill me all the days of my life. Surely what I want, wealth and peace. Surely goodness and mercy all my days. That is all the sheep need. And knowing that enables you to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. From our reading in 1 Peter. But if when you do good and suffer for it, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God, for to this you have been called. When you suffer for standing for the name of Jesus, for his name's sake, to this you have been called. Because Christ also suffered for you. For you were straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, Jesus Christ. All of this imagery is about the Lord as shepherd, and it's all contingent on three things. Is he heard? Is he listened to? And is he obeyed? Because if he's not heard, there's danger and death. If he's not listened to, there is danger and death. If he's not obeyed, there is danger and death. I put before you the next verse in our reading from Deuteronomy, a verse that I am seeking to write into my own memory that captures the sentiment of the need for the shepherd to be heard and listened to and obeyed. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 13. Together. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall walk after him. He's leading. It's not the great personal shepherd taking you where you want to go. This is his leadership. You shall fear him. You shall respect what he has to say and follow. even when it's not what you want, knowing that you can trust him. You shall keep his commandments and obey his voice. That means not just hear, not just listen, but remember and obey. Remember what he says and do it. You shall hold fast to him, cling to him. Stay close to him. The great personal shepherd is all about you. Your way, protecting you from delay of your time, keeping your individuality as you go where you want to go in the fastest way for you. That is what the world wants to offer us apart from our great shepherd. The Lord as your shepherd. While that promises that you will not lack for anything, that your life will be renewed in his presence, that you will know peace and provision amidst darkness and anxiety and fear, that you will have his goodness and mercy every day. That's not all about you. That's for his name's sake. He will lead you in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His way alone is perfect, and goodness and mercy and provision and his peace. And walking in that way, he will attract other lost sheep to himself as you actually look like sheep. Imagine that, the church looking like his sheep. And others saying, that's different, and making fun. And then others saying, but that's got life that I don't have. And being attracted to the Lord for his name's sake. It's important to understand in this world where we take really good care of our pets. Nothing wrong with that. Sheep here are not pets. The shepherd is not coddling them, feeding them better than third world country members eat. The sheep kind of have a purpose. And as far as I remember, it's food, to be fed to people, and to be shorn for their wool. It's not about companionship here for the sheep. They trust the shepherd. And he's in charge. They trust the owner, and he's in charge. Life is not all about them. It's for his name's sake. In contrast to the great personal shepherds who are all about you, making your life easier, the Lord's way may be more difficult. It may take longer. It may lead to and allow trial, the valley of deepest darkness. It may involve a whack from his rod as he tries to get you back onto his path. I had to be careful not to hit my thing. By his rod and staff, he will bring peace and comfort amidst fear and anxiety and sadness, and that is the best way. So are you hearing him? Are you listening to him? And are you obeying him? Now, how can you hear his voice if you don't stop to listen, or if you don't turn down the other noise or step away from the other voices, including these phone things? How will we hear his voice if we're trying to listen while we're surfing, or while we're watching, or while we're distracted? The great personal shepherds will distract you and tear you away, promising you other things apart from him. So are you hearing? Are you listening to what you're hearing? Or do you forget as soon as you hear it? I did that earlier this week where I went to the hospital for a family member of a parishioner. Didn't know these people. And there's the 21-year-old son recovering from a major head injury. And I met the dad, asked him his name. And 1 minute later, I had no idea what his name was. You think I have this great ability of remembering names, and it ain't natural. So I asked him again in a creative way, so what's your wife's name and his sister's name? And I'm sorry, tell me again your name? Okay, great. And then the nurses came in, and I was observing, praying as I was standing there. And then the Lord said, pray for this family. And I had no idea what the dude's name was. So I had to ask him a third time. I was there 7 minutes. I was hearing what he said, but I was not paying attention because I was distracted. Thankfully, he was gracious. And I invite you to pray for Mitchell as he continues to recover, and for his dad, Mark, and for their family. Listening is not just hearing, but it's listening and remembering. Are you obeying what you're hearing from the Lord? Are you following him? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, declared himself to be the good shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me, he said. He also declared himself to be the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Do you know him? And if you know him, are you hearing him? You're not just hearing, but listening. And are you obeying? In the first century, those following Jesus, the world knew that they were his followers and they persecuted them. They lived differently. It was about his name's sake, and they were tortured and they were killed, and the world was forever changed through their following their shepherd as his sheep. Many of you here seek daily to hear his voice, to listen to it, and to obey it, to be transformed by him day by day, and I praise God for your witness and your example. Because by and large, the church is dying on the vine. As so many claim salvation in Jesus, but are not following him as shepherd. They don't look any different from the world. For those of you who are seeking after him daily, I challenge you to stand firm as a sheep, to daily depend on him, on his voice, hearing, listening, receiving his provision and his life as you obey. And I pray that God will bring good fruit in and through your lives and through this church as we walk forward following our Savior and our shepherd together. But today I also beckon and call out to the others who may not be recognizable as Jesus' sheep except for what you do between 8 and noon on Sunday. I pray you will choose to seek after and follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd. That you will follow the Lord, the only Shepherd. I pray that you will today turn away from the great personal shepherding voices around you, the thieves of this world that want to steal, kill, and destroy your faith. And that you will, echoing Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4, that you will walk after the Lord your shepherd and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you will serve him and hold fast to him. May we be a church that lives this for his name's sake, for the glory of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. He is the Good Shepherd, the living Christ. And I invite you now to please stand. We now have the opportunity to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. So let's declare what Jesus' sheep, what followers